distributing it and giving it away. We got some places that we're going to give some of it to. So that's going to be coming up. We got some neat things happening. I may have them bring those four pallets and put them right here. How would that be? Or put them up here on the platform. I may use one as a pulpit Sunday. That'd be cool, wouldn't it? So I'm a little bit excited, and I want you to get that way too. Okay, Paige is going to try to order shirts. Okay. How much were they? $10? Okay. We might want to check and see. Okay. We might want to get with Jason's guy, and he can get them pretty quick. Get with Jason after the service. But these are the Servolution things that we downloaded from Healing Place. We just put believers on there and their stuff on the back. So, hey, we're partners with Healing Place Church. Did you know that? Praise God. I'm believing that Dino's going to come here someday and preach to us. What do you think? I got an inside straight on it now. See, I'm working it. I'd love that. Okay, go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want to begin a series tonight called Practical Atheist. Practical Atheist. Anybody know what an atheist is? You know what a theist is? You know what the Greek word for God is theo. And a theist, somebody that believes in God. And an atheist, the prefix a means no. An atheist believes there's no God. So how can there be a practical atheist? And we're going to talk about that. And I'm not going to be talking about real atheists. I'm going to be talking about Christian atheists a little bit. I just have a sense that God is trying to wake His church up. Because I think He's up to something. I really think God is up to something. Are y'all awake tonight? Nod your head or do something. But, you know, I think God's up to something. He wants to shake something up. And the shaking begins with the house of God. And sometimes our hearts get so dull and thick. And we get so blah that we need to shake ourselves out of something. There's a lot of reasons that we get blah. And most of it has to do is because we quit meditating and studying the Word and praying, and we've allowed things to slip on the back burner, and we need to keep them on the front burner. You know, God is dealing with me a whole lot about being more disciplined in my life, about not wasting time and doing things to stay sharp. And you just got to know, if God wants me to be sharp, that means He wants you to be sharp too. And I really think the day of us being lazy Christians is about over. The Bible Belt has kind of been lulled to sleep. And lots of churches have been lulled to sleep. And we don't need to be among those people that are lulled to sleep by our spiritual indifference. But I want to read this scripture. It's called Practical, the message is called Practical Atheist. And it says, and I'm reading from, I'm not sure what translation this is. It's probably not King James, because I don't hardly ever read from King James. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days, people who will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. See, this is not talking about real atheist. This is talking about people who believe in God, but for all practical application, they might as well be atheist. For all of the good that they do for the kingdom, they might as well be atheist. See, a practical atheist is someone who believes in God, but lives as if He doesn't exist. They believe in God, but they live as if he doesn't exist. That's a practical atheist. And I think there's some of those kind of folks in the church. They have a profession, but they don't seem to have a possession, and they live their lives as though God doesn't exist. No fear of God. And they basically say this: I believe in God, but I don't fear Him. Now, they don't say that, but that's what they demonstrate. They believe in God, but they don't fear Him. And I don't know about you, I want to have a God consciousness. I want to live with a consciousness of God all the time in my life. And I can't say, honestly, that I always have done that. I mean, you know, I can get so involved, and you can too, in doing ministry that you forget about God. You can be doing good things and you can forget about God because you quit doing the things that keeps you fresh. And all of a sudden you're doing ministry and you look around and you're thinking, where's God? Where's God? And we have disregarded what the Holy Spirit is trying to do in our lives to keep us fresh and to keep us where we need to be. And we just kind of move away from the fear of God. We just move away from the fear of God. And I don't want to be like that. And I've had that happen to me before. And what tends to happen when you do that, you start burning out. There's a reason that we burn out. I always say this: when your outgo exceeds your income, your upkeep becomes your downfall. Say that again. When your outgo exceeds your income, your upkeep becomes your downfall. And you know, when you give out and you minister and you give out and you give out and you give out, if you're not taking in and taking in and taking in and you're only giving out, guess what? Your upkeep is going to become your downfall, because you're going to come to the place that you're just spent. And then you're going to think, where's God? And you're going to have a tendency to want to quit. Well, I want to stay in a place, and I know that in order to do that, I have to be disciplined. I have to grow. I have to read. Something I don't like doing is read. And I'm setting some goals this year for reading. I read 25 books last year, and I want to beat that goal this year. And I'm not just reading to be reading. I'm reading to grow. And I'm learning to read Scripture for me. And it's real easy to read Scripture so that I can minister, or study so I can preach. I need to do some studying because I need deposit in me where I can minister the way that I need to minister. So I want to live in the fear of God. I want to learn to live in a fresh relationship with God. I don't want to become a practical atheist by losing my respect and my fear for God. Now, as we said, a practical atheist is someone who believes in God but lives as if He doesn't exist. Wow. Psalms 36, 1 and 2. This is the New Living Testament. It says, "Sin whispers to the wicked deep within their hearts. They have no fear of God to restrain them. In their blind conceit, they cannot see how wicked they really are." You know, most everybody in America claims some kind of spirituality. You ever notice? Well, I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. I believe in God. I believe in God. I believe in God. But they live their lives as though God doesn't exist. That's a practical atheist. If we really believe in God, and we really believe that He exists, and we really believe that He's important, we need to live our lives as though He's right here with us, because guess what? He's right here with us. That's the way that we need to live our lives. And folks, you know, I'm not up here swatting at people. I'm talking to myself, because it's very easy to slip into this mindset and this mode as a Christian who wants to do right. But I think over the years in Christianity in America, and especially in America, the church has slipped into this mode that they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. It has no power in their life whatsoever. They go to church, they go home, they go to church, they go home, they go to work, they live their lives, they make a living, they go to church, they go home, and God is not really a part of their lives. And they think that they've done what they're supposed to do because they go to church. And see, think about the two great commandments. They're what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, with all your strength. That's big. That's a big task. And then love your neighbor as yourself. So if we're really going to be engaged in a real relationship with God, guess what? We're going to have to spend time with Him. He's going to have to be real in our lives. We're going to have to respect what He says. And we're going to have to demonstrate our love to Him. And we've got to demonstrate our love to other people. And this is the big job that the church is called to do. And all of that's wrapped up in the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, we're not supposed to go tell them they're going to hell. We're supposed to tell them that they've been reconciled to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we need to demonstrate that through a lifestyle that has a life-giving quality to it. Amen? Are y'all here? Okay. So what does it look like when you truly fear God? There's a couple things that I want to talk about, and we're going to look at a couple stories. We're going to look at the story of Abram. Remember how long Abram believed God for a son? His greatest desire in all the world was to have a son. In fact, in those days and in that culture, if you didn't have a seed, if you didn't have a son, you didn't have anything. Abram was very wealthy. He was very influential. He was very prosperous in many, many ways, but he didn't have a seed. He didn't have a son. He had passed the time of childbearing. His wife had passed the flower of her youth and was is incapable of having children. But by the power of God and by a covenant with God, guess what? He had a son. That's Isaac. And, you know, Abram would have given everything that he had and everything he owned for that son. And one day God speaks to him and he says, here's what I want you to do, Abram. He said, I want you to take your son, your only begotten son, and I want you to take him 3 days' journey to a mountain that I'll show you. And on top of that mountain, I want you to sacrifice him as a burnt offering unto me. Now, don't you think Abram has got a decision that he needs to make? You know, and bottom line is, do I fear God or do I not fear God? Do I obey God or do I disobey God? You know what his flesh... You know what most of us would do? We hear that voice and say, I rebuke you, devil, in the name of Jesus. You know, that couldn't be God. But you know, according to the Word, very early the next morning, Abram arose, saddled his donkey, and headed off with his son. And 3 days' journey, God showed him that mountain. They were climbing that mountain. And, you know, Isaac said, Father, here's the wood for the sacrifice and here's the fire, but where's the sacrifice? You know, Abram says God will provide himself a lamb. And he trusted God through this whole situation. You know, his flesh was repulsed to do what he was about to do. You know how they did those sacrifices in those days? They killed them. They cut them right down the middle in two halves, and they laid the halves out. I mean, it was he would have to have dismembered him and then burn his body on that altar. You know, that is an unheard of thing. And see, here's the quality of a person who truly fears God. And that is that you will serve Him wholeheartedly without any conditions. Anything that God wants you to do, you'll do. Now, God is not going to ask you to sacrifice your child. This was a covenant thing. And you know, we understand that that Abram went to the very end of this thing, to the point of drawing his knife back to kill his son, and God stopped him. He said, "That's enough." He said, "You've proved to me that you fear God." And he says, "Don't harm the son." And there was a ram caught in the thicket, and he was the sacrifice instead of Isaac. But this covenant agreement, because Abram gave his only begotten son, in covenant, what you have is an exchange. You have a thing that says, "Whatever you need, I give you." And this is from both sides. And because mankind needed a redeemer, God had to send His Son because Abraham gave His Son. Now, did Abram fear God? Yes, he feared God. And he served Him wholeheartedly without any conditions. There's never an inkling in the Scripture that he ever questioned the voice of God. And the very fact that he rose early the next morning, Josephus says he did not want to give any sign whatsoever that there was any hesitation about him at all. That he promptly obeyed God. He lived wholeheartedly for God without any conditions. How many times has God asked us to do something and we'll say, "Well, Lord, I would do that, but Lord, if I did that, what would so-and-so think of me?" See, we're talking about walking in the fear of God. And I think God wants us to obey Him implicitly. When we see things in the Word, we should be prompt to obey those things. You know what? If God says, "I don't like this," then guess what? We shouldn't like it either. If God says, "You know what? I like this," then we should like it too. Why? Because we're afraid of God? No, because we respect God. How many of you know that His opinion is better than your opinion? Yeah, it really is. You know why His opinion is better than your opinion? Because He sees the end result. There's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death. See, we like to live by what's fun. "Ooh, that sounds like fun. Let's go do that." And it kills you, or almost kills you. Then you wake up and you holler, "Hey, God, help!" He comes down and delivers you. You know? And we are pleasure-seeking. You know, we have a tendency to do that. And many times, we are blinded by our own flesh. "Lord, that lady sure looks fine. She would make a wonderful wife. Ooh, that man sure is a hunk. He would make a fine looking..." All you see in His flesh. God sees the heart. "Oh, that looks like a good job opportunity. Twice the money what I'm making. To you it looks good, but see, God sees the end result." You know what? If there's a little check in your spirit, you ought to listen to it. If you really fear God, you're going to learn to listen to the voice of God. Now here's the main way that the Lord speaks to us. It's right through this Word. Let me tell you something about God. He's not like we are. He doesn't tell lies, and He don't change His mind. When you're perfect, you don't have to change. God's all about change, but He's not about Him changing. He's about you changing and me changing. When you're perfect, you don't have to change. Now some Christians think they're perfect because they won't change. I shall not be moved. You know, they're not changing. The old saying, they're sot in their ways. You ever seen somebody sot in their ways? They're set in their ways. But His opinion is right. His Holy Spirit will never say anything to you that's not in this book. I had a lady tell me one time she married a heathen. He was not a Christian. She told me one time, said, God told me to marry him. No, she wanted him because he had money. And she married him. And he got saved. But God didn't tell her to marry him. We'll say, how can you say that? Because this says that. The Bible says, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Yeah, but I want him. Yeah, you're going to get him too. You're going to get more than you bargained for. You know, when we go against the leading of the Holy Spirit in our life from the Word of God, it'll cost you every time. Now, God may be able to redeem it, but guess what? There's a price to pay. And one of the prices that you pay is that you become insensitive in your heart. Because you have to harden your heart as a believer to not obey the voice of God. I don't know why I'm saying this, because this is not my notes. So usually that means it's a Holy Spirit thing when you get to talking about some of this stuff. Don't raise your hand. Am I stepping on somebody's toes here tonight? Don't even nod your head. I know I am. But honestly, we need to learn to fear God. And we need to be willing to serve Him wholeheartedly without any conditions. If He says, go to Africa you should go. If He says, go tell so-and-so I love them, go tell them. Yeah, but what will they think? It doesn't matter. You know, we need to be more concerned about what He thinks than what somebody else thinks. And it's, yeah, but they might think I'm a fool. Well, let me say this. If you disobey God, you are one. Okay. I got to do the second one. I could twist on that a while. The second one is, let's go to Isaiah chapter 6. Anybody want me to start a new series next week? You say, Pastor, you've been saying some tough stuff lately. You know, I love you guys. And I love me. And I want us to be the church that we're supposed to be. I just want us to have the most impact that we can have in this community. You know, one of the biggest complaints that people have about staying away from church is about all the hypocrites who profess that they love God and that they love people, and yet they don't show it. And I don't want us to be that kind of church. I don't want to be that kind of person. I want to be genuinely a lover of God and a genuine lover of people. And I want to be able to accept people who come in this door, no matter what their sin state, no matter if they don't have a relationship with God or whether they do, but be able to challenge all of us to grow. We need to be committed followers of Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled the temple, and above it stood seraphim. Each had six wings, and two He covered His face, and with two He covered His feet, and with two He flew. And He cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. I don't think these words paint the picture of what was really going on in that place. I mean, this dude saw some stuff that was stunning. The glory of God is something that's very stunning. And these angels were so overwhelmed by God's presence that they were crying. I don't think they were going, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. I think they were, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. I think they were awed by His presence. And the post of the doors were shaken by the voice of Him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said... Now, when he was in this awesome presence of God, he was aware of two things. Number one, he was aware of the awesome presence of God. And number two, then he became aware of his condition before God. And he says, woe is me. He said, I'm pitiful. That's what he would say. I am pitiful. Woe is me. For I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. When we really, see, here's something, that when we really have a real, genuine God moment experience, it shows us His awesomeness, but it also reflects and shows us where we are. Now, he doesn't do that because he has a big ego. God doesn't have a big ego. What God wants to do is to transform us into His image and into His glory. Okay? So, when you see who you are, it's not God beating you up. It's a reflection so that you can look in His reflection and be transformed by His glory. See, the Bible talks about that we behold the glory of God in a mirror. Well, here's the mirror that we behold the glory of God in. See, one thing about this mirror, it shows you, number one, who you are. Number two, then it shows you who you are in Christ. And you can look at this mirror and you can judge yourself where you are, but you can also see where you can be. And you can use this mirror to be transformed from one degree of glory to the next degree of glory to the next degree of glory. But guess what? You have to be willing to do that. Okay, so he says, woe is me, for I'm done. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King and the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to him, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged. See, he acknowledged who he was. And because he acknowledged, he was honest about where he was and who he was and his spiritual condition, that the angel was able to take a coal and to cleanse him and purge him of his sin. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, now he can hear the voice of the Lord. He's been cleansed. He's been purged. Now he can hear the voice of the Lord. And it says, who shall I send? Or he says, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people. See, this is the process of what God wants to do in our lives. We need to see who He is, and we'll see who we are. When we acknowledge who we are, He can change who we are. And then He can take us and send us to people, and we can make a difference in their lives. We can go tell people what God has done for us. And, you know, and really, and see, here's the second thing. When you really and truly fear God, you'll be forever ruined where the old life is concerned. You'll be forever ruined where the old life is concerned. You know what? You won't go back to the drugs. You won't go back to the alcohol. You won't go back to the pornography. You won't go back to the wrong relationships. You'll get out of dysfunctional, enabling, wrong relationships. And you'll be more about God. Here's what I want. I want what God wants, not what I want. So he was ruined forever. Okay, we got to close because it's 3 after, but I want to ask a question or two. As we've talked about this tonight, what would you say, this is for your own reflection, not for you to stand up and testify, not that you want to anyway, but what would you say would be the area in your life that you are a practical atheist? What area in your life is it that you don't fear God? Just kind of put that in your pipe and smoke it a while. Okay? Not your water pipe, your spiritual pipe. In other words, meditate on that a while. Think about it. What area has the Holy Spirit showed you tonight that you are a practical atheist where the fear of God is concerned? Because, I think there's areas of our lives that we can be pretty good in, but there's this area over here that we won't let God touch. We don't want God messing with that. And we're not fearing God. We're not respecting God. And He really can't do in our lives what He really wants to do. See, God wants to transform us. He wants to change us. I don't know about you, I want to be transformed and changed. I am not happy where I am spiritually. I'm grateful for what God has done in my life, but I want to grow. I want to reach more people. I want to do more things. I want to take a whole bunch of people to heaven when we go. Don't you? I want us to be responsible for a bunch of people coming into the kingdom. And God is going to show us how to do that. But folks, we need to get rid of some of our practical atheism. And we need to get real about our relationship with God. And we got 3 more rounds of this. So get ready, because there's some other things that we're going to look at and deal with. And here again, the thing that I want you to meditate on, what is it that the Holy Spirit has showed you tonight? What area in your life are you a practical atheist? Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this word tonight. Thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the word of knowledge that's operated in this service tonight. Thank you that you've directed us to say the things that we need to say, not in a condemning way. Because, Lord, our desire is not to condemn anyone. But we want to see the Holy Spirit challenge us in these areas of our life. And, Lord, you want to clean us up so that we can be your jewels. And we can be the thing that causes people to want to come to Christ, not to stay away from Him. Speak to us as we go from this place tonight. Speak to us tonight, Father, as we lay on our beds and before we go to sleep and drift off into sleepiness. May your Holy Spirit deal with us. May we make what we need to make right. May we make it right in Jesus' name. If you agree with that, say amen. Okay, He's going to do it, so get ready.